Good afternoon, everyone. Good evening, I should say. And welcome to the meeting. I'd like to start by singing number 268. 268. Salvation. Second to last line of verse 1 says, our strength, thy grace, our rule, thy word. The second verse, Lord, by thy word and spirit led, we shall not in the desert stray. And this is my topic tonight, to speak on the word of God. So let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank thee for this time that we can be together. We thank thee for the liberty. We thank thee for the ability as well, that so many could be here and that we could not just enjoy fellowship with one another, but that we can come to hear what thou would say to us. So we pray that thou would open each one of our hearts and our minds, the speaker as well, that we would hear thy voice this evening. We commit this time to thee and give thee our thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, the Word of God is for all of us. I'm conscious as I begin this meeting that there are two and only two kinds of people in this room, those who are lost and those who are saved. And if you're lost, meaning, of course, that you don't yet know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God is for you too. And I'd like to just start by looking at a verse. If we can go to 1 Peter chapter 1. And just look at a verse there. First Peter 1, verse 23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And so it is this word of God that we're going to speak about tonight that has the power, the ability by the Spirit of God to give you life. And your whole life can be changed. You can come to know your sins forgiven before God, and you can have a life that will last forever. Because this word is God's word, and God is faithful, and he tells us the truth, and he tells us about our need, that we're sinners, lost, and guilty. And yet, this same word tells us that God sent his Son into this world to be the Savior of sinners. And so there's just one word out of all this word that can give you life, and there's another and another. There's many of them, but one in particular that we know so well, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have eternal life. that is enough to give you life forever. The word goes on here, verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. That's our lives. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And so we start there. And if there's anyone yet who doesn't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I just urge you to stop right now and to make that choice to believe on Him. But for the remainder of this meeting, my intention is to go on and speak to believers. And I want to take up the Word of God first in terms of its importance. And then I want to take up two thoughts that the Lord Jesus expressed. Both expressed as a warning, take heed how you hear. Take heed what you hear. And then at the end of this meeting, I'd like to go on and just give a few tips for studying the Word. I've written them down here on a paper. And I'll just go through this, some of my experience, and I'll try to share that with you to hopefully be a bit helpful. You see, you can think of this also as a bit of a working session, not just an exhortation. So first of all, as to the importance of the Word of God, if we just go down, I want to look at a verse in Psalm 138 and see something that God says about it. Psalm 138 and verse 2, near the end of the verse, it says, Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Rather striking verse. The name of God speaks of all that God is, and it says that He's put His word above that. He's magnified it above that. Why? Because without having that sure word from God as to who He is, and an unchangeable word from God as to who He is and what He is, we would never know Him. We would never have any relationship with Him. And so He's put His word in that place and He's given it to us so that we might know Him. And this is so important that when He sent His Son into the world, His Son came in here. It's the Word of God, the perfect expression of all that God was. And He went around and He perfectly did what was the will of God His Father in every word He spoke was that will of God. They came to Him one day and they said, Who are you? He said, I am absolutely that which I say unto you. Every word that He spoke was a perfect expression of what He was in His person. There was nothing that was different. And so it's very important when you come to the Word of God that we understand that it expresses God Himself and it expresses what God's mind is and His will for every one of us. It's important. It's vitally important. And we'll talk more about that. But you know, when the Lord Jesus began His ministry, He quoted a verse from Deuteronomy chapter 8. It's that in Matthew chapter 4, He spoke to this devil at the temptation. He said, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Or to put that in the positive for you and me right now, man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Have you ever thought about that for yourself? I have, and I fall far short of it. The Lord didn't. And He's our example. He's our life. And that's given to us to do as well, to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And what is that? It's what we have right here in the written Word of God. This is given to us to live by, not just to be saved by, but this book is for you and me as believers to live our whole lives by. And so it's vitally important. You know, it's taken up in terms of the negative in the lives of believers, and I just want to refer to this briefly. If you were to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in the beginning of that chapter, and look, you would see words written to Gentiles. And they had grown, they had gifts, there was a lot that they were doing, but they were babies. And it said that it was a time when they should have been ready for strong meat from this word of God, but they weren't. They were only able to take milk like a baby. If you go to the end of Hebrews chapter 5, you find a similar portion written to Jews. It was another thing that caused the difficulty, but the result was the same. They had gone on, and they hadn't gotten to that place where they were able to take in the word of God and know it and really be strong in it and have it like strong meat. They were still babies. And that's the negative side. God presents that as well. And he exhorts us by it not to get that way. And this is my burden here tonight, because I've been at the camp for a few days now, and it's very obvious. There's a lot of young people here. You're at the beginning of your Christian journey. You haven't yet made the mistake of ignoring the word of God so much that you're going to get into this spot. But you might, and I don't want you to. You don't have to make that mistake. You don't have to go down that road. Now, I just want to say one more thing, on a little on the negative side, but to encourage, while you have that time, not to go down that road. And if it's anyone older, you don't have to keep going down that road. Any of us, we can take up with the word of God right now where we are, and we can find blessing from it. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 16. Luke 16, and we'll start at verse 1. The chapter, or the passage here, is speaking about a steward, and a steward is one who works for someone else, and he's responsible to take care of the goods of his master and to safeguard those goods and increase them as he has the ability to do it. And according to what we're talking about in our subject tonight, we are stewards. We have a master. Our master is the Lord, and he's given to us his word. He's given his word to us as something that we are to hold for him. Not just hold it, but to increase in it so that we might use it for him, not only in our own lives, but also as he directs, to be able to be a help and a blessing to others. So every one of us who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, who owns that he is Lord, we are stewards. It says in verse 1, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed. Now, the story goes on, but I don't want to continue. I want to take up just this part of the story to where this man fails in his responsibility. And I want to apply it to this subject so that we don't fail in the same way. And I submit to you that the reason why this man failed was because of what he says in the last verse that we read. He says, I cannot dig, and to beg, I am ashamed. Perhaps if he had learned to dig, and perhaps if he hadn't been ashamed to beg earlier, he could have held on to his master's goods or safeguarded them or kept them and increased them in a way that would have been suitable to his relationship to his master. But he didn't do that. In our application, what does this mean? When it comes to the word of God, there's two ways that we can take it in and increase by it. One is to dig, and we want to talk about that tonight, to get into the word of God and to dig it out for ourselves. But you may say, I'm not so good at digging. Okay, that's okay. Then beg. Others have dug. Go ahead and beg. There's nothing wrong with that. Better yet, dig and beg. I'm going to be exhorting that right to the end of the meeting tonight. Get all you can. It doesn't matter how. For those who have dug out the Word of God, these precious truths from God's book, and they've presented them to us in such a wonderful way, go ahead, get it. Get all you can. And then go on yourself and dig all you can on your own. And by those two things, watch and see if you can't be a good steward for the Lord and that which He's committed to you. Now, I want to go on to the next part of the topic. I said the Lord presented two exhortations. The first one is found a little earlier in chapter 8 of this book. We'll look at it there. Take heed how you hear, Luke 8. And that is the 18th verse. But if you were to go back to the beginning of the chapter, you see that the Lord is talking about a parable here of a sower that went out and sowed. I think we all know that parable, and he sowed seeds, right? At first, those seeds were by the wayside, then there was on the rock, and then there was some among thorns, and there were some that fell on good ground. And the Lord applied that, but he gets down to the 18th verse, and he's talking then to all of us generally. He says, "Take the heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." How do we hear the Word of God? Are we indifferent about it? You know, I've known so many of mine acquaintance, and sadly, many of us have not spent a lot of time and been rather careless and indifferent with the Word of God. Yet when it comes to other things, whatever it may be, that interest us, we can go on endlessly about it. Take a student who wants to take up a field of study. They're very diligent with how they do that. They spend the time. They do what is taken so that they can have suitable expertise in their field so they can go out and do that which they're studying. But when it comes to the Word of God, somehow we tend to be a little bit more careless about it. And why should that be for Christians? This is our book. This is God's book. It belongs to us. He's committed it to us. And this is not valuable just for right now, here in time, but this book has its application and its value forever. Why should we take it any less than any field of study or any other thing that interests you and me? And so he says here, he says, "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given." That means you go out and you take it and you make it your own, the Lord's going to give you more. But he says, "Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." I don't know if you've heard brethren say that we don't stand still in the things of God. Probably you've heard that statement. It's a true statement. It comes in this verse. Other verses imply it as well. But you don't remain still. Either you're going on and increasing in the things of God, or those things which you have had and gotten in the past, if you're careless and indifferent now, you're losing it. But you're not standing still. And this verse shows that very plainly. Now, it's not all doom and gloom on that. You know, if we go on careless in our lives, and I can tell you, very definitely I have in seasons of my life, that we have a Father who loves us too much just to allow us to go, to continue on that way. And so I just want to show you one other thing about that. Let's go to Psalm 119. If you want to know things about the Word, there's no better chapter in the Word to come to than this Psalm. Every verse, I think, except for two, speaks about the Word. But we'll just look at Psalm 119 and verse 67. He says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." This is what our loving Father does. And I can tell you it's true in my life. I've talked to quite a few others. You get careless and you're a true child of God, the Father will discipline and bring us around so that we not only have a love and concern for His Word, but also to keep it in some measure, hopefully a very full measure. So I just want to present that and say we need to, every one of us, hold the Word of God of all importance and be very serious about taking it up and studying it. Now, take heed how you hear. There are those who say, well, I'm not really responsible for the Word of God because I look around and I see so many different views and opinions. And, you know, how can we know for sure? And therefore, I'm not responsible. It's kind of like an agnostic, you know. But that's a wrong thought entirely. And there's many ways to show that, but one that comes to mind is Hebrews chapter 1. The first two verses, if you take all the words of those verses and boil down to, you'll find this thought there. God hath spoken unto us. Now, He didn't speak unto us with a thought that we wouldn't have any idea what He's saying. God spoke to us, and He intends for us to know what He's saying. And so He's given us the ability to understand. If you're a child of God, then you have the ability to understand the Word of God. Let's just look at another verse right here in Psalm 119. And go back to verse 18. It says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. What is this verse? It's a prayer, isn't it? And that's the number one thing we can do. We can go to the Lord and say, open my eyes. I'm not sure I understand this. Maybe there are different opinions about a verse or a passage. Maybe it's obscure to me right now. Well, we take up the Word of God, not in our intellects, but we take it up in prayer. And this verse shows an excellent prayer with which to take up the Word of God. Now, it's not just prayer, but God has given to us His Spirit. And we're not going to take the time to turn there, but if we went to John chapter 14, 15, 16, we would see that the Spirit of God was to be given and now has been given so that we would know the Word of God. He shall teach you all things, the Lord says in John 14, I believe it's verse 26. 1 John tells us the same thing, that we've got an unction from the Holy One and He teaches us all things. And so the Spirit of God indwells every believer to teach us the mind of God from His Word. And we have no excuse not to know it. Now, just say, too, about we can get in a way that we're not hearing God. And we talked about that a little bit earlier in Matthew chapter 6. If you remember, some of you weren't even here. But Matthew 6 and verse 22, it says, the light of the body is the eye. And it says, "There, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy body shall be full of darkness. And if the light that is in thee be darkness, then how great is that darkness?" What is that speaking about? The next verse goes on to help a little bit. It says, no man can serve two masters. It means we've got a master. Our master is Christ. And a single eye is an eye only for Christ. An evil eye is an eye for Christ and someone else, two masters. Possibly not for Christ at all, but that's probably not true. If anyone is a true believer, you have an eye for Christ. But an evil eye that brings in darkness is what I have done in my own life many times. I want to live for Christ and live for myself at the same time. And you're not going to make progress in the Word of God if that's what you do. I can tell you from painful experience. We need to have a single eye for the Lord Jesus Christ if we're going to understand what God says by His Word. And there's another point in that too. If you want to know what the Word of God is saying, then you must understand that it's speaking about that one who is our object, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 8, He says, search the Scriptures, and them you think you have eternal life. They are they which speak of Me. The Scriptures speak of Christ. Brother mentioned it early already this week. In the end of Luke, how he spoke, showed them that in all the scriptures, how they spoke of himself. And so the word of God is about one man. It's about Christ. And we take it up, we need to understand that. Now, I just want to go on and look at one more thing in Psalm 119. It's just on my Bible over in the same page, verse 59, because take heed how you hear. Number one, we need to apply the word to ourselves. We need to have a single eye, yes. But when God shows us something, we need to apply it to ourselves in our own walk. In verse 59, he says, I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. It had an effect on him first. This is very similar, maybe in thought, to John 7:17, isn't it? The Lord says that any man will do his will or practice his will, he shall know of the doctrine. And so we need to apply the word of God to our own walk. You can't just go read the Bible and say, yeah, that's what it says, and get more and more knowledge and then go do whatever you want and expect that you're going to grow. It's not going to happen. We need to take it and apply it to ourselves first. Now, I'll just see one more verse on that and go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 16, take heed unto thyself. It's the same thing we just looked at. Take heed how you hear. But he goes on. He says, and unto the doctrine. Now that's something else. This leads me to the next part of what I want to speak about here. Take heed what you hear. That's what the Lord said in Mark chapter 4. Verse 24, take heed what you hear. Doctrine, it's a big word. It simply means teaching. But what it means is that we don't take up this word in a superficial way. And I don't mean to imply by that that if it's not by getting into the teaching, that it's only superficial. You know, if you go and you read the word of God, just read it through, it will cleanse you. And that's a good thing. But the teaching means that we need to get deeper into it. And we need to learn what it means. And so he says here, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So again, it has effect on ourselves, our Christian lives, but also on all those around us. Now, I just want to look at this as take heed what you hear. What is it that we're taking in about the Word of God? And the first thing is, of course, it must be always the Word of God itself. Has to be. When we study the Word of God, don't go study about it first. Study the Word first. And put it first in our lives. And I don't have an exact verse on this, but just as to the importance of it, it impressed me very much what Job says. Well, look at that. In Job chapter 23. Job 23 and verse 12, the middle of the verse, he says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Or another translation says, I have laid up the words of his mouth more than the purpose of my own heart. Either way, it's the same thought, that the word that proceeds from the mouth of God was more important to Job than anything else, even the purpose of his own heart. And so we need to take the word of God and we need to make it first. And we need to read it first. We need to study it first. If you want to know the doctrine, you go to the word of God first. And then you take up with other things. Now, take heed what you hear. On the negative side, human wisdom has no place in taking up the word of God. And let's just go and look and see where this is touched on in 1 Corinthians 2. The Apostle Paul is telling how the Word of God came through him by inspiration in this passage. But then we get how it was passed on to us as well here. Beyond inspiration to illumination. That illumination is what brings light into us as we hear the Word of God. And so he says in verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." That's the apostle receiving the word of God by the spirit of God in inspiration. He says, "Which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth." Got that? No part of man's wisdom is involved in the word of God. And we must not bring it there either. "But which the Holy Ghost Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, or communicating spiritual things by spiritual means." It's another way that that could be said. In other words, the Word of God comes to us in the power of the Spirit of God. It doesn't come by human methods of learning, human intellect, human logic. All these ways of explaining things on a human level, that is not the way the Spirit of God works. And we don't want to take up the Word of God that way, or we'll get entirely the wrong idea, because God didn't speak that way. Now, another thing I want to say, I'm going to lump a whole bunch of things into one. There's a lot of instruction about the Word of God that isn't good. Take heed what you hear. And I'm not going to get into detail on that, but I'll pick one thing that has been a trouble to the church all through the centuries, and that is that many have taken up with the church fathers and said a thought like this, that they were closer to the apostles than we are. And so if we really want to know what the apostles meant, then we should go and read the church fathers and hear what they said and understand what they understood, then we'll have the right idea of it. I hope you understand that's a really bad idea, but there's a lot of Christians who don't understand that, and they take up with the church fathers in exactly that way. What's wrong with that? It's not the church fathers that are the interpreters of Scripture to us, is it? It's the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is the one who is given to interpret the living Word of God to you and I, and God uses also gifts that he puts among us to be helps as well. The Word of God clearly presents that, but it wasn't the church fathers. I'll give you one passage. It might be a help to you as it was to me. Let's go to John 21. John 21. And this is the passage where the Lord is speaking to Peter, and he had told him to follow him. Verse 20, "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following." That would be John, the writer of this gospel, right? "Which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Now, that's what the Lord said. How do we know? Because it's here in the Bible by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God told us what the Lord said. But the Spirit of God goes on and says something else here. "Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" Isn't that interesting? These were closer than the early church fathers. These were the apostles themselves. They heard the words of the Lord directly. And what happened? They got it wrong. They themselves. The apostles themselves weren't suitable authorities to interpret the word of God, except insofar as they wrote under the inspiration of the Spirit of God that they could give us the word of God. It's the only way. We always have to go back to the exact word of God. We can't look at it through the filter of someone else. We could get maybe some help from one whom the Lord has raised up to be a teacher or a prophet, but to go based on those who were there and their experiences and all those things, and there are many, many books written on that as to what the early church fathers said and taught and believed were the principles, the teachings, the actions of the early church, and whole denominations of Christians act on what they said the early Christians did. And therefore, that must be what this is speaking about. No, we go back to the source, and we allow the Holy Spirit of God to take the Word of God and make it real to each one of us and let us know exactly what He meant by it. Now, I just want to look at those other sources, trusted sources, if you will, in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and so on there. And so Timothy had learned things, and he had gotten them from the Apostle Paul, who was a trusted source. There were other sources of information already at that time. Number one, Timothy had the Word of God, and that's in the next verses. But there was also teaching that had come about the Word of God. And there was that which was trusted, and there was that which wasn't. And we could spend a lot of time going into that and even arguing about what those things are, and I'm not going to do it. I'm going to just suggest, if you're not sure what is good help, good ministry on the Word of God, go to some of the older brothers and sisters in your assembly, and feel free to talk to me later on or any of the other brothers, sisters here, as to what might be trusted sources, the Word of God. I mean, I'll tell you without any reservation at all from myself, I am very happy with the material Bible Truth Publishers puts out. I can't prove that to you, but I'm very happy with that. That to me is a trusted source. There is a lot of instruction today, especially because that's what we have in the verse just before. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. No doubt there's good things also, but there's more and more of the bad. The Word of God said there would be, and we need to be careful. And so there's instruction that causeth to err, and there's a lot of it. And we need to be very careful what we hear. Take in first the Word of God. Take it in by the Spirit of God. Leave out the human wisdom. Be very careful with those sources that are bad. Now, that's what I had as to principles. I wanted to go through a list of these study tips that I just listed out on this piece of paper here. And I hope this could be a help. If you're just starting out to take up the Word of God seriously as a study, that can be a little bit difficult. Okay, for some of you young men and young women, you maybe have read your Bible a little bit, but at some point you get to the place where you want to know a little bit more. And you want to take up the study of the Word of God just a little bit more seriously. And hopefully after that, a little bit more yet. But it's not overly clear sometimes as to how you should even start. And so I'll just give you a couple of thoughts I have, and I hope it might be some help to you. And first of all, if we can go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I should have just stayed where I was there. 1 Timothy 4. And verse 13, it says, till I come, give attendance to reading. Now, this could be the readings as in a reading meeting, but for each one of us, it's reading. And I would suggest, number one, maybe what you're already doing, if you're reading through the Bible, that's great. Number one, do that. Read through the Bible. And then read through it again. Then read through it again. And do it. If you have a family, read through the Bible with your family. Personally, read through the Bible. It's very important. You get the Word of God in order. You see how it was that God gave His Word from start to finish. It makes you see you don't become unbalanced in your understanding of the Word by only focusing always on one part. We need all of it. And so He says, give attendance to reading. Now, I would just say, as another point, get outlines. If you hear a good outline, or if you hear somebody speaking on something and they have an outline, get those outlines. And this really is in, if you just turn over a page, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, it says, hold fast the form, it really should be the outline, if you look in the JND translation, of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Those outlines really help. You can build on them. It's like building a house and making a frame first, and then you can put everything else on there. If you don't do it that way, it becomes very, very hard to make progress. So get those outlines wherever you can find them. Commit them to memory. And then as you're reading through the Word of God, you'll find that it's helpful. It helps you to build, to organize thoughts, and to keep things connected properly. Another, if we just go back to our verse, 1 Timothy 4, and verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation. Now this last one, to doctrine. We already talked about that. Doctrine, what is it? Teaching, right? The teaching of the Word of God. This is more in depth. So we want to take the Word of God, we want to read through, yes, but we also want to take the time to study it. Take a passage and study it. What does that passage mean? Go and do an in-depth study of it so you really get a sense of it yourself. It'll be a tremendous help to you. You want to get the meaning? I have been in places. I hope I'm not going to hurt anybody by this, but where there have been readings, and what has been said at those readings has been a series of nice thoughts, but the meaning of the passage hasn't come out. And that's a shame, because that's not what God intends. Nice thoughts are good. If it's a scriptural thought, that's great, and we should always have those where somebody has it in their heart to give it in a meeting. We all enjoy that, and that's helpful. But the doctrine, the teaching of the passage is vital. We need to get that. And if it gets to that point in an assembly where we don't have the teaching down through the passage, there's a reason for that. And I'm going to suggest one reason. It's because we haven't taken the time. I'm talking to the brothers particularly now because you're the ones who would speak in a meeting like that. We haven't taken the time in our own readings to say, what does this passage mean? And that means to go and look at the context. What does it mean in the context of the words around it in the verse? What about the paragraph? What is that paragraph talking about? What about the chapter or the section or the book? What's the subject? What's the theme? How does this fit in? We need to take the time to figure that out. And if we don't, everything's going to be disjointed. And I'm going to tell you something, too. You who are young, get used to doing that. The younger you get used to doing that, the easier obey. You start when you're older, it's always harder. When you're young and you're studying, make it a habit to say, what does this mean? I just read these words. I got the words. I can read them. But what did it actually mean? What is God trying to say to me in these words? What is He trying to say about Christ? How does this affect my walk? You need to get into all of that. Well, it says, take heed to thyself. Well, that's the next verse down. To the doctrine again. That's the 16th verse, the doctrine. We already read that. We need to be very careful with that doctrine, to take up with the meaning of it, with what God is saying, so that we will know. The next thing I have on my list here is topical study. There's a lot of the Word of God that we don't find out laid out right in a chapter. Like the idea of sanctification. What is that? What are the kinds of sanctification? And what does that mean? Where is it found in the Word of God? How is it presented? And that can be a little bit hard. And I'm going to tell you, when you're going through and doing an in-depth study, just going through a chapter, and you're trying to understand what that chapter is saying, you come to some of these concepts, and they're hard. Maybe you need to take a little bit of time and go back and look and see, what does this word mean? What does this thought mean, this whole subject? And go and do a topical study on it. In order to do that, you probably want to get maybe some help from a trusted source. I would suggest a very good help is your cross-references in your Bible. Or if you have a Bible program, those cross-references tend to be even better. Or concordance. Get Strong's Concordance and look up the word. Look up the forms of the word and see what the Word of God is saying about that word in different places. And usually you can get a lot of light on the subject from simply doing that. And so it's a help. And by going through and doing this in your personal reading and learning more and more about these different things, you'll come to understand what the passage is teaching about. I spoke about the personal reading. You get a little older, the Lord gives you a wife, you have a family. For the wife, for the husband, you have children before long. Now you're both teaching them. What are you teaching them? Make it a habit. What does the passage mean? Teach the meaning to your children so that they're used to hearing the meaning presented, not just the words. The words are good. If that's all you feel able for, then go ahead and read the words. Read the Word of God. Never skip that. But make it a habit to try to understand it yourself and then to try to pass on that understanding to your children. And then to complete my thought from earlier, there will come that day when the Lord may use you, brothers, in the assembly to teach in the assembly. And you'll be able to pass on the meaning in the assembly as well. If there's a failure there, it's probably because we have failed to make that a habit in our own personal readings before the Lord, to know what it is that He is saying to us in the passage. And it's very important that we do it. Every single one of us, sisters too, memorize the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Well, that's one reason to do it, and it's a very good reason, isn't it? You get the Word of God in your heart, and the Spirit of God is a way of bringing it out just when He needs to. And it's not just to keep us from sin, but it's also for meditation. It's for those times when we're there, maybe just sitting and not having anything else going on, and the Spirit of God brings some portion of the Word to us, and we can sit there, we can think about it. Tremendously helpful to be able to memorize the Word of God. And do that when you're young. Listen to me, you younger ones. Memorize all you can. You think the memory verse is a trouble? I did. When I was your age, I thought I didn't like it. Okay? Do it. When you get my age, it isn't easy. Okay? At your age, it's pretty easy to memorize a verse. And it'll stick with you, too. When you get older, it's harder. You can still do it. I can still memorize verses. And I need to. And I will keep trying to. But start where you are. Oh, it's such a help. It'll be such a blessing to you as well. You get such a great head start. You're young. You know, there's a lot of people get saved later, and they don't have what you have. They didn't get these things presented to them when they were so young as you guys are. You can have a tremendous head start in the things of God if you don't let these years go by and not use them in this way. Well, the meditation is another thing. And if you just turn to Psalm 119 again. This time, verse 130 says, "The entrance of thy word, of thy words, giveth light." The entrance of the word of God always gives light, but sometimes it seems hard. You read it, and you don't know what it says. And so we do the first thing that we talked about, right? We pray, we ask the Lord to show us. We still don't know. Well, you can just lay it aside and you can wait, but you can meditate as well and think about it. Maybe leave it and come back to it. Think about it again. Maybe it's a particular hard thing for you and you really want to know, memorize it so it can come back to you anytime. And then you'll find that there's a time where the word enters and suddenly the light comes in. Oh, it's wonderful. It's a great thing. So meditation is something that perhaps we don't do very much anymore, but we need to. It simply means to think about the word of God. Take it into our minds, mull it over. What is this saying? Think about it in different ways. Ask the Lord. Talk to the Lord about it. And let that light break in. And you'll receive a blessing every time from it. Well, another thing I have here on this list, this was one that was important to me. I wrote it down as the hump of understanding, or the hill, or the mountain of understanding. Okay, and maybe a lot of you are going to relate to this. You come to the Word of God, you've heard a lot of it already now in your life, and you think, understand this book, it's hard. You're talking about going and studying it and learning what this verse is. It looks like a mountain to me. I don't know how I can climb that mountain. That's awfully difficult. And if that's what any of you are thinking, I know it's what I thought. It's what my wife thought. And it's what a lot of people I've talked to have thought. But here's what that road looks like. I just want to tell you so you know, because we went down it. You take the time. You start climbing that hill, and it's not such a bad hill. As you go on that hill, you'll find much to enjoy there. And there'll be things that you don't understand. At first, there's going to be a lot that you don't understand. You're going to take the time and go and maybe figure out a few of those things. At first, it just seems like it's such a bad... You're studying everything and getting almost nowhere. After a while, you notice it's changed a little bit. Now it's making a little bit more sense. It's surprising sometimes how quickly that comes. Sometimes maybe it takes a little longer before you get to the next stage. After a while, you realize, you know what? This is making a lot of sense. And this passage, I can see now how it fits together with this passage. And now this thought, sanctification, that really makes sense because of what I read over here. And everything's tying together. And some of those topical studies that you did are really fitting well with some of the studies that you did on the chapters and the passages. And next thing you know, you're just enjoying it. You say, wow, there's nothing like this. It's tremendous. Take the time. If that looks like a hill in front of you, climb it. It's not a hard hill. It's not nearly so hard as it looks. Satan makes it look unclimbable. It's not. It's a gentle hill, and you'll find that you'll get over it before long, and you're going to get into great delight in the Word of God. So keep at it. Next thing I have is just a suggestion where to start. If you want to do an in-depth study, I would suggest either the book of John or the book of Romans, and definitely both of them. And after that, go on to others afterwards. But get a good understanding of those books. And you'll find that many, many things tie into the doctrine that it lay it out in those two books. Just a suggestion where to start. Another suggestion, go to the assembly readings. Go to all of them. Don't miss them. Don't think, oh, I got 2 out of 3. That's good. I did pretty good this month. Every other one, I'm fairly okay here. No. You're missing important information. The assembly readings, we take up the word of God in order. And when you miss one, you're missing some of the teaching that is given in order. Don't miss it. You don't miss classes in school. Don't miss the assembly readings. We're taking up the word of God together in the presence of the Lord with the Spirit of God is leading, we trust. And we want to hear what he has to say to us collectively. We don't want to miss it. Don't miss it. Make it a habit of your life to get to those reading meetings. For other reasons, it should be on the other meetings as well. But for the study of the Word of God, I would say take advantage of everything. If your assembly has a Bible study, don't miss those either. What a tremendous opportunity. Somebody else is digging. Don't be afraid to beg. And finally, on my list here, I just shared with you some of the things that came to my mind. But as I look around this room right now, I see a lot of older brothers and sisters. And these older brothers and sisters have been studying the Word of God for many years. And they have a wealth of information that they can help you with. And so do your parents, more than likely, for most of you here anyway. They love you. They're going to help you. They want you to do well in the things of God. And they'll be glad to share with you some things that have been a help to them. So go ask them. And ask the older brothers and sisters in your assembly, the ones who are here. We love you too. We want to see you do well in the things of God. We want you to continue in God. In the Word of God, I should say, we don't want you to waste these years that you have right now, as some of us have wasted them. We want you to use them for the Lord and to be strong in His Word. And you know there's one who loves you more than all of us. And I just want to leave you with this thought. We'll go to James chapter 1. Because that one gives an absolute promise here. James 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, that means freely, and upbraideth not, that means he won't reproach you for doing it, and it shall be given him. I might be wrong, but I think that's the only unqualified promise in prayer in the Bible. Of course, we know that anyone who comes to him, he won't cast out. So I guess that's another one. But for the Christian, you come and you ask the Lord for something, and if it's his will, he does it, and it's always for the better. But this is one thing he always gives without exception, exactly the way it's asked. You say, Lord, I need wisdom. I need wisdom to know what you're saying here to me through your word. And it says, he'll give it. It shall be given him. The Lord will give it to you. He loves you more than any of us. He's got a lot more steady tips than I do. So go and ask him. He'll share with you freely. And he wants your blessing more than we do. But we want it as well. Well, let's close with prayer. Our God and our Father, we thank you so much for thy word. We consider for a moment where we would be if we didn't have it. In utter darkness, and that forever. But thou hast revealed thyself in grace beyond what we can understand through it. We thank thee so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for what we have seen in him. and through him and because of him. We thank thee for sharing with us all thy mind revealed in thy word. And we ask that thou would help us, each one, whether we're very young or whether we're older, to take up thy word more earnestly for the time that we have left here. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.